of knowing I could potentially be number one. So at Verizon, we all receive the same training. We all have access to the same tools and resources. Some people succeed and some people don't, right? Some people, they come into work and they do their very best, and then other people, they don't do so good. And so, you know, when you don't do so good, your supervisor pull you to the side, hey, what's going on? Because the main question is, you, like everybody else, have access to the same tools and resources. You receive the same training. So why are you not performing up to par? Like, what's going on? Okay, so the title of my message today is called Striving for a Crown. Okay? So you guys can open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so sorry for you. It says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So when I read the scripture, something in me, number one, was a little bit convicted, and another part of me was like, yes, Paul, I'm running this race, even though everybody knows I really don't like running, but I'm going to run this race of Christian life, right? So I started to ponder, what is he, in the first verse, he said, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. So he was talking to the Corinthian church, and at the time, of course, they were really big on like the Olympian Games. Still what we know of today as the Olympics. This is what goes on in their city. So everybody is pretty familiar with this process of running a race because there actually are races that are going on. Okay, so but when those people run their race to win, it can only be one winner. Which means that everybody puts in an immense amount of training, they sacrifice, they do everything that they need to do because they think, I could be number one. But in reality, there can only be one number one. But that doesn't stop them from trying, doesn't stop them from going to the race, doesn't stop them from putting in the time, doesn't stop them from doing those things. So then he gets to the next part where he says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. As Christians, what is it that we should be striving for, that we should be putting in time for, putting in the work to do, that we can all win, but yet we're not doing it? Right. You know, but yet we'd rather make sometimes excuses, sometimes, or that we call reasons for why we can't perform up to par. Right. But here we have a set of people known as the runners, yeah, who at this time are not classified as Christians, but they are doing something and striving for something that only one person can get. Right. But yet we can reach, we have an imperishable crown. Like he said, we have something that we can get that won't ever fade away. But yet we don't strive for it. Yet we don't put in the work to get it. Yet we'd rather make excuses than actually show up and perform. So in the next part he says, but the people who are running, they're temperate in all things. And when he says temperate, he means they basically exercise self-control. They do what they need to do as athletes in order to perform. And every person who is an athlete knows there's certain things that I can and cannot do in order to be successful. Now, these people who are athletes, they chose this. Nobody forced them to. They said, hey, I think I'm really good at basketball. I'm going to be a basketball player. And they start to work and perform in such a way. So nobody is mandating this on them. Nobody is forcing this on them. This is just simply their choice to do. But then we have Christians who complain about giving up their liberties, who complain about not exercising self-control, who complain about the things that they don't want to do because of what reason? When we have a group of people who would give it all up just to win one medal.
We have a group of people who would give up everything that they've been strived, that they call life. They would give it all up just to be able to, one opportunity to win. When God has made it, he said he gave his very best to us. He gave us his son who died on the cross, right? So that we can have life everlasting. But when he asks us to sacrifice, when he asks us to sometimes show up to church renovations, when he asks us to do certain things that require us to exercise self-control, we rather opt out. But then it's a people who are running for a perishable crown, which means they're striving for something that in a matter of time, we're going to look back and that thing going to be gone. But yet we're supposed to be storing up our treasures in heaven. So that's why I strive for a crown. Because the hard work that we can never do for ourselves, which would be Christ dying on the cross, has already been done. That part is already taken care of. There's no need for us to die again, but for us to sacrifice because we love him. Because without him, we will be in the bondage of our sins. Without him, we will be striving for perishable crowns as well. Without him, we will be spending an eternity in hell. But instead, we get to have life and have it more abundantly. So then Paul says, okay, So when Paul says, run in such a way to obtain it, I found myself, right, just wondering, okay, when, you know, sometimes I can have an attitude that says, if I'm getting ready to play a game, now I set out like I want to win. But especially when I play your pastor, I set out like I want to win. But when it starts getting towards the end of the game and I realize I'm not going to win this one, I develop an attitude like I ain't want to win anyway. I really was just playing with you just to be playing with you. I let you win. It's whatever. But Paul is saying, at everything you do, you should be running in such a way to obtain it. In everything you do, you should be putting your best foot forward for Christ, because he already died for us. Because it's nothing that we can do to repay him for the love that he shows us day after day after day. But I can give you my best. I can show up every day ready to perform. I can come to the house of God willing and wanting to worship him. I can come into the house of God giving him my all over and over and over again. Because he already died for me. Because what I'm striving for has already been prepared for me. Because there's no going back on that. It's just, he already got it for me, right? Amen. Amen. This is it. Okay. So it's a scripture that really, you know, adds to the fact that this crown has already been prepared for us, right? It's in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance imperishable and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. So there it is, laid out right there, guys. So here we go. We have to ask ourselves the question, how is it that some person who is not filled with the Spirit of God, who has not accepted what Jesus Christ has done for him on the cross, can have more self-control than me, can have a better attitude than me, can be willing to show up every day and perform, and I can't? What excuse do I have when I have something that's already been reserved in heaven for me? Because I said that I believe what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. Right, so that's why we should be encouraged to strive for a crown. So we can't be out here letting non-saved people outdo us. We you going to work and the person next to you is outperforming you because you just don't feel like it today. Because I guess God gonna love me anyway. I don't feel like it. Thank you for calling Verizon. Yeah, your bill is gonna stand as it is. Goodbye. You know, like what is it in us that would rather have us make excuses than actually perform when we've been given the gift of everlasting life? It ain't nothing that we can. How can we fail? How can we fall short when the Bible tells us that it's already been reserved for us? If we really believe, why would I not give my best? Why would I not just work? We see an example of our pastor put in work. Put in work. When I tell you, every time you get ready to utter a complaint, you be like, Pastor, you still going? We still hammering this wall, huh? Pastor, but I'm tired. And you just look at that as an example of how we can continue to press on because the Spirit of God is inside of us. It's not if somebody who don't even come to church can exercise more self-control than me. I mean, Paul is saying, it's people who would give up smoking and drinking and partying to win a medal. And then as soon as Pastor Man say, no, you don't need to talk to them for a couple of days. Now your whole life then started to crumble. Your whole thing then started to fall down. You're like, Pastor, my liberty in God. Pastor, I'm free. I'm no longer bound to sin. I mean, really? It's people who are in the world who would give up worldly treasures, things that are rightfully theirs, for the idea that they could be great at something, for the idea that they could be successful at something. And here we have the gift of everlasting life, and we can't give up $10? We can't sow a seed into the house of God? We can't work even past the point of us being tired? We can't still show up even though we know we got to go to work in the morning? What are we striving for? How is it that somebody who has, they gonna, I'm gonna whisper, they gonna die and go to hell? I don't know if we told them, they gonna die and their life is gonna be up, they gonna go to hell. And then here you go, you get to stand before a holy and a righteous judge. And at the end of the day, we will all look back on our lives and we will say, God, I wish I would have done more for you. God, I wish that those hours that I could have put in that extra time, I wish I would have did it. But now it's too late. Now it ain't no more second chance once God pull your number. You're done. So I hope you made your life count because you're going to be done. So I asked, when I was reading the scripture, God was dealing with me because I come to the church for the renovation. I'd be like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm ready to go. But you know, you get tired. You get tired. You up here. You like, man, I got to get up at the crack of Jesus to go travel over here to this job. They don't even know my real purpose. They don't even know what I'm called to. They still want me to show up, but they don't even know my full potential. You know what? But I got to leave the church. I can't stay here with y'all no more. But then God challenged me, like, why not? If the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me, then why would I not go the distance? Why would I not put in the time? Why would I not go the extra mile in order to give God my best? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so have y'all ever had a teacher? If people in my team, have you ever had a teacher that said, you start with an A? Anybody ever teach it? I had a couple teachers that said, you know what, you're gonna start with an A. And you like, yes, Lord, I started with an A. I just got to keep this A till I get to the end. Yes, I can do it. But keeping that A involves what? Studying, doing your homework, going to class, showing up on time, participating, or else that A, it ain't going to be an A no more. It's going to be a flag. For some of us who have received those, not me. But the same thing, you think the same. When we show up at MIT, Pastor said, you start with an A. But will you make it to the end? So hold on to that A. You know, you think that your effort is all well and good, right? You think that you're doing the best that you can do. Well, you know you're not doing your best, but you think that the effort that you are putting into it should warrant you this good grade. And then we got the set of people, the runners, who would put their whole life on the line. I mean, give it everything that they got. I mean, just run and run, go to practice after practice after practice. I mean, they probably lost a million races. But yet and still, we won't do our very best until we see that F on our paper. And we'll be like, oh, I think I need to try a little bit harder. I think when Pastor said read the book, she actually meant read the book. I don't know what got into me. I thought. Read the book on how to read a book. Okay. So, I mean, but here we have people, no offense, but I know maybe it's the lion in me. We don't want to be showed up by no sinner. I don't know if I can, no. God has been too good to me for me to sit up here and act like a punk and be like, I can't show up. I can't keep going. I can't keep running. I just can't carry on. My life. Now, everybody's dealing with pain, so everybody's dealing with their fair share of suffering. Everybody's dealing with their fair share of financial troubles. Now, if they can still exercise self-control, then certainly we can. A Christian can. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? Y'all good at this. Y'all are good at this. You know, if I had a medal, I'd give it to each and every one. Because the way I feel, like I could pass out at any moment. Okay, so we're just going to keep going. Okay. So then it says, then Paul, right? He says, therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now, I'm just going to be 100% transparent, y'all. You know, when you see disqualified, you're like, oh, shucks, this ain't going to a good place for me. Right, but Paul, he is really giving them an example of what he has to do in order to run this life of faith. He is really showing them, like, no, you have to really put in time. You really have to be diligent about what you have to be very certain. Yes, I love God. Yes, my faith in him is certain. Yes, I will serve him to the day that I die. Because Satan, guess what, y'all? He don't play fair. He's not concerned about if you got it today and don't have it tomorrow. He's not concerned about if your intentions were to show up, but you just couldn't. He's not concerned about that. Just like any person who competed in the race, when they lose, who was it on? It's on them. They didn't do what they needed to do. Or if they did, it was somebody better. But in this case, we all get to have an opportunity. Nobody gets to get left out. We all are in the body of believers. That means that when this is all said and done, if we believe in Jesus Christ and we hold on to this faith to the end, we all get a prize. Everybody. Even that prize, you in everlasting life, everybody get a prize. Now, I don't know if it gets better than that. Well, here at Renew, we know we like to get funny acting when everybody get a prize. You like, everybody? Everybody got an A? I mean, was Miles like an A++? Was theirs like the golden retriever's probably happy, like, yes, we all got an A. No, my mom thinking, is there more? Like, is there extra credit? But did we win? And in this, God is telling us, no, you all will win in the end. If you continue to run this race for Christ, you will win in the end. There ain't no need for you to worry as things get hard and they build in your life and they become overwhelming. You will win in the end. All you got to do is keep on. All you got to do when you're running with Pastor, she says, just keep on picking your feet up and putting them down. She said, you know, it's no rocket science. You just pick your feet up and you put them down. And that's how you make it to the end. Pick your feet up, you put them down. Pick them up, put them down. I be like, Pastor, but they don't work. They broke. They don't go up no higher. Imagine how God is looking at us, knowing that he's given us his spirit who's conquered all. And he said, pick it up, put it down. Pick it, keep going. Keep going. I'm not going to let you fail. I'm not going to let you keep going. You think he would hold a bone in front of our face? No. God is not like that. He said, keep going. You like, I don't think I can. God, I'm tired, my body, I'm going to fall asleep. He like, keep going. God, I ain't got no money. He like, just give a little bit more. Just do a little bit more. Just come on, push a little bit harder. Come on, keep going a little bit further. Then what? Because if an unbeliever can do it, then I know if you feel with the Spirit of God that you can do it. I know you can do it. I know you got everything that you need in order to win this race of life. So, okay. So here, this is Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Y'all know I talk fast. I'm like flying through these pages. Okay. Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. I need to remember to drink my own water. Jewel told me to remind her to drink her water. I need to remember to drink my own water. There it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I mean, listen, listen, y'all, we can endure this. We can endure this race of life. It ain't no such thing as I'm going to give my best and God, he going to just look at you like you're crazy. But we don't even offer our best. We offer minimal effort and expect great things. We offer a little bit. And we're like, God, okay, do it, Jesus. And he like, I think you can do a little bit more than that. I think you come to church on Sunday and Wednesday. I think you can come to church on Sunday, Wednesday, and you probably can throw a Tuesday in there. You know. But yet, he's basically telling us we are surrounded by so great a cloud. If nothing else for us at this church, we know we got a good example of what it means to keep going. We know we got a good example of what it means to not lose faith. We know we got a good example of what it means to continue to endure past the point where you think you can. Come on, somebody. Y'all know y'all pastor? Have y'all met this woman? I mean, my God. Okay. So then he says, let us run with endurance, because you know that you got to make it to the end to get the prize. Spoiler, you got to make it to the end to get the You had to hold on to your faith and make it to the end to get the prize. So he's saying, let us run this race of endurance, which is the Spirit of God working on the inside of us that keeps saying, you can go a little bit further. You know, like when you want to mess up and you hear pastor's voice, or you hear the Holy Spirit convict you to say, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do it. He's saying, let us run this race of endurance. You can make it. You can keep going. It's hard today. It might be a little hard tomorrow, but you can make it. You can keep going and keep pressing and keep enduring. You can do this. And I mean, when I tell y'all that this scripture encouraged me, I'm like, yes, why am I up here punking out, man? Christians ain't no punk, man. We're supposed to be running. We're supposed to be going. We're supposed to be striving for what's already been promised to us. Because, I mean, far be it, like, the children of Israel were delivered from bondage, which is what they wanted, and God had an even better thing for them, the promised land, and they couldn't even stop complaining to get there. I mean, come on. So, and here we've been given the gift of everlasting life. All we got to do is make it to the end. All we got to do is keep running. And Paul is putting this clear picture in front of them because he's like, well, if they can do it, I know you can do it. And just like how we have, for us, it might not be the Olympics because I don't even watch the Olympics, y'all. But, I mean, I don't. But for us, it could be who we look at on Facebook. When we see people on Facebook and they out here like grinding and hustling and they out here, they numbers is going like today it was 1,000 people watched their video. Tomorrow was 5. Like, dang, what they doing? Dang, how they become so popular? You know, and these people are really putting in the work, really making sacrifices, really doing what they feel like is necessary in order for them to be successful. But yeah, we can't, you know, we can barely reshare the podcast. Like barely. I know I'd be like, oh, I don't be on Facebook that much. And Pastor was like, you on Facebook all the time. Why you don't share the podcast? I'm like, oh, yeah, just scrolling through Duke County's being on there, right? I ain't making no comments though, Pastor. So, okay. See that? See that? This is the last page. You guys have been great. You guys have been great. So now I feel like I can slow down because I pretty much ran through the first 5 pages. So now it's time to let's slow down, okay, God?
Take your time, preacher.
Take your time. Thank you, Pastor. But when I read this scripture, y'all, for real, 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, I would encourage you to whenever you find yourself growing weary. So whenever you find yourself thinking, like, I can't keep doing it, that you look at this, and Paul says, run in such a way that you can win. Like, run in such a way that you go up to, like, somebody can look at your life and say that they can keep going because of you. Yeah. And somebody can look at your life, and they can know that they can see Jesus, too, that they have what it takes to continue in this race as well. Like, when we look at the mothers of our church, when we look at how they endure and how they continue to press, why would I not show up to church on Sunday if Mother Bell and Mother Allie and Mother Hudson and if these people can, what's wrong with me? I'm going to look back one day and wish I would have been in church and wish that I had the health that I have now and so I can be in church, so I can serve God, so I can give him my best. Come on, this life is not going to last always. Your body is not going to be in the condition it's in always. And we're going to wish that when we had this good body, for some of us, we're going to wish that we had gave God our best. And not just what he will say is acceptable, what you can get away with, but our best, because once that time is passed, you don't get a chance to do that again. You don't. Once these renovations is done, y'all, they done. Until we move again, and then you'll be hoping that you can show up to the next batch. Why not invest what you can now because it's in you to do? God's not requiring something that's not in us to do. He knows it's in us to do it because his Spirit is in us. So why would we not do what we are capable of doing? Why would we not give God our best when we're capable of giving him our best? What kind of person in a relationship, when they know they could give you more, instead decide to give you less and hope that you'll be okay with it? And hope that you will still love them the same? And hope that you will still show up for them? Not today. Why would we put God through that? He died for us. I get to spend an eternity in heaven because somebody preached the gospel of salvation to my life. And what about us? What are we doing to encourage somebody else along the way? Okay. I'm finna conclude, y'all. But you can sit down. Sit. I want you to sit. Thank you. Okay. Okay. See, that's the conclusion marker, right? In conclusion. I'm just kidding. How are you living your life? Are you living in such a way that God will be pleased with the fact that he sent his son to die for you? Are you living your life in a way that God will be honored to know that you are one of his own? Are you living your life in such a way that you know that each and every day, at each obstacle, at each wave, that you are giving God your very best? Okay, one day, y'all, this life will come to an end for all of us. God gave us his best by sending his son, by dying on the cross for us so that we could live and have life everlasting. And I will be remiss if I didn't give my very best each and every day. I would not be doing what I know I feel on the inside to do. I'm so grateful and so thankful that God loved me enough. If somebody can be out here preaching about Buddha, and they can be out here preaching about the Hebrew Israelites, and they can be out here preaching about the Jehovah's Witness, I know most certainly I know a God who is the living, true God, who died for my sins, who promised me everlasting life, who promised that he would never leave me nor forsake me, who's always keeping me. He's always watching over me. He's always sending me people to encourage me. He's always making sure that I keep going. I most certainly know I can strive and keep going for him. I know that I can press on and press towards the mark of the high calling because God's not lowering the standard. He's not doing it. Amen. So I just want to encourage everybody, love God with your whole heart. Yes. Do all that you can for him, because when this life is over, there will not be another one for you. So you need to give it your all. Give it your very best, because there are people out here who is living for nothing and they giving that their best. So we going to give God our best here at Renew, and my pastor be making sure of that. Thank you. Thank you, guys. That's it. That's it. I'm done, pastor. I'm done. Come on and bless God in the house. Come on and thank God for it. Hallelujah. Stretch your hands to the woman of God. God bless her. Increase her. Enlarge her, God. Everything that was poured out, God, restore her 100%, God. She served passionately, God. Now restore her with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on and bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you haven't been giving God your whole heart, the altar is open. Come on now. Hallelujah. In true form, if you need to give God more of your heart, the altar is open. Come on now. That message was pricking. Hello, somebody. Giving 60% of yourself, 40% of yourself, 30% of yourself. God, I need to give 100%. I felt pricked in my heart by the word of God that came forth from the woman of God. And I just know that I need to give more of myself to you. Somebody said, I grew weary in well-doing, God. Change my mind, change my heart now in the name of Jesus. I suffered through so many hurts and battles and scars, God, that I began to want to pause for a second. God, please cause me not to pause. Let me run swiftly, God. Let me reach your mark. As the woman of God preached today, God, let me find you and your strength inside of me. I need your spirit now in the name of Jesus. Fill me now. Come on. If you're a believer at this altar, what you're really praying is that the spirit of God will fill you again. Fill me now. The apostles were filled continuously. They were always asking after great battles, after great persecution, that the Spirit of God would fill them. So God, you see those that are at the altar. God, fill them with your Spirit now in the name of Jesus.